We begin the current daf and start this nazir daf samach dalad. Begin on the bottom of the daf samach gimel beis, four lines up at the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which elaborates on this unique halacha l'moshe m'sinai of tumas atohim. And that is, we said that if a nazir finds out about a tumah that he had after he had already had his taglachas, already finished his naziris, and he finds out that he was tummy during his naziris, well, it depends. If it was a tumah yidua, a tumah that could have been known, so then he had become tummy, it says his naziris, he has to start over. But if it was a tumas hatohim, meaning although we find out that he had passed over a source of tumah during his naziris, but it was a tumas hatohim, a possible source of tumah that no one in the world had known about it, so then that's a unique dispensation of halacha Moshe Mesinai that is not going to be seisis naziris. So the Mishnah said ketzat. So what would be a conceptualization of these two cases of tumah yidua and tumas hatohim regarding this halacha of being seisis naziris? So the Mishnah said Yarad, so it first described the halacha of tumah yidua. It said that if, let's say, he had a tumah sheretz, and he's going to immerse himself in the ma'ara, in the cave, and as he's coming out, he sees a corpse floating on the water of the mikvah. So now he's not sure if he was leaning over that, which would create a tumas oil for making him tumah from the corpse or not. So he said that there's no dispensation as we find by the halacha of tumas atahayim, so you're left with just a suffix tumah b'rishus ayachad. Maybe you leaned over it, maybe you didn't, and therefore you're going to be tumah. Now, however, regarding this halacha, as the Rosh had already alluded to this in the Mishnah, what we're talking about that the corpse is floating on the surface of the water. But again, you weren't sure, you have a suffix, did you lean over it or not? Now, on that, the Gemara says, tzafa eina mitama le'inyan sheretz. As we'll see exactly the parameters of this halacha, but there is such a halacha regarding the tumah sheretz, regarding touching these creepy eight creatures that are mentioned in the Torah, that there's a tumah of maga when you touch these things. When it's floating, we don't say that it transmits tumah to someone that comes in contact with it. The Tanya, like we learned in the Brice, and actually this is it's a Mishnah, in the fourth parak of Masechtas Tyrus, where previously the Mishnah had taught that there are certain situations of suffix where the Chacham said that it's tar. And one of them is when you have a suffix tumah, a doubtful situation, did you come in contact with a tumah that's floating on water? And after that, that's what the Mishnah says, suffix tumah tzafa, regarding obviously it's not a dispensation of your touching, but a doubtful situation of tumah that's floating on the surface of the water. Now, on that, says the Tanakama, bein bekelim, whether this water was in the vessel, and you had a sheretz that was floating, you had a bug, a dead bug that was floating on the surface of the water. Now, you're not sure if you touched the sheretz or not. So, whether it's in a vessel or bein mekarko, whether it was in the ground, either way, the Tanakama says, tar, you're going to be tar. Which, again, that's what we're saying, as we'll see the source of this halacha, when you have a suffix tumah of a sheretz that's floating, then you're going to be tar, whether in the ground or in the vessel. Whereas Reb Shimon Naimi says, no, bekelim tameh, actually if it's in the vessel, then the person, out of doubt, if he touched that sheretz or not, would be tameh. But bekarka tara, it's only in the ground that when it's floating on the water, that then, regards to that suffix of did he touch the sheretz or not, is he going to be tar? Now, as Gemara continues, the Gemara asks, my time at the time of the Kama, what's the reasoning? Where do we see such a unique halacha that a suffix tumah of a sheretz when it's floating, whether in the ground or in the vessel, is not going to create a halacha of tumah? So Amr Bitzchel Bar Avadim, he says, because Ksiv, there's a pasuk in the Yikra that says, b'chol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz, with any sheretz that's crawling. Now, that sounds like it's saying, kal makim shu sheretz, meaning wherever it is that it crawls, that it's going to transmit tumah to someone that touches it, meaning wherever it's fit to crawl, meaning even if it's on water, it's going to transmit tumah. Yet, uchsiv, meaning even if it's floating on water. Now, uchsiv, but however, it says in the previous pasuk, it says al ha'aretz, meaning it says ha'sheretz ha'sheretz al ha'aretz, that there's a halach of tumah for the vermin that are creeping on the ground, which sounds like that's only going to transmit tumah if it's crawling on the ground. So ha'ketza, how do we resolve these two pesukim? So on that, the Tanakama holds, vadoi magoi tomei, when it's definitely that you're touching it, then that touching is going to transmit tumah no matter where it is, even on water. Safik magoi tar. However, it's a doubtful situation. If you touched it, then on water it's going to be tar. Then it's only going to transmit tumah, like the other pasuk says, ala aretz, and therefore that's the source of the Tanakama regarding a doubtful situation of touching on water, which is any body of water, whether in the kli or on the karka, it's going to be tar. That's the source for the Tanna Kamma. For Reb Shimon, my time, what's the reason for Reb Shimon who differentiates between a kli? There he says Savag Mag is going to be tame and karka it's going to be tar. So Ma'ula Ula says, because ksiv, it says a pasuk later on, it says, Ach Mayan. However, a spring, or as the pasuk says, Ubor Mikvei Mayim, or a pit of gathered water, Yitar should be pure. Now, which sounds like that if someone touches a sheretz on the surface of the mikvah, on the gathered water, that then is going to be tahar. Yet Uchsiv, it says at the end of that pasuk that it says Vahanegea b'nevlasam yitma, whoever touches their carcass will be tameh, which sounds like that in all situations, even in a mayin and a bar, a mikvah mayim, that it will transmit tumah. So how do we resolve that? Ha-ketzad. So that says Reb Shimon, Safa b'kelim, if it's floating on the utensil in the vessel, then it's going to be tameh, as the end of the pasuk says, even though it's on water. Bekarka, but if it's floating on the ground, underwater on the ground, then tar is going to be tar, because it has to be similar to a mayin and a bar, which is water that's on the ground. That's what the pasuk is saying, that then the yitar. But the end of the pasuk, it says yitma is, even though it's a body of water, if it's in the utensil, then it's going to be tameh. Therefore, that's the understanding of this unique halacha about tzafa, which actually the next price that the Gemara is going to quote is going to elaborate on the details of this halacha. But we're saying that regarding sheretz, of did you touch it, did you not, let's say in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which generally you'll say Sabak Tam Rosh Hashanah Yachid is tameh. However, that regarding floating on water, again we have a machlekes if it's only in the karka or even the kli, but that's the unique dispensation that it's not going to be creating a halacha of tameh, the person is going to be tar. Anything that's being carried or being dragged, if let's say a different person is holding a sheretz in his hand, or he's dragging it on the ground near Tyrus, near things or a person, that's tar. Now, it's doubtful if he touched the tar thing or not. So the loch is sveik and tame. The doubtful situation, we will say that it's going to be tame. And the reason being is because we don't consider this sheretz as floating. Why? Even though it's in motion. Because even though if you're pulling it, let's say on water, we view it as if it's in stationary because it's in the person's hand. So although the person's pulling it, so it's being dragged, but it's in one place. It's in the same hand where it always was. So therefore the Braisa says that's considered not like floating. It's like munachin. So the Safak Tema will be tummy. Not like the unique halacha of tzafa al pnei amayim, which is going to be tar. Now, however, van nizrakin. But if let's say somebody throws it through the air near where tyrus are, things that are pure, so it's although the motion is coming from a person, but we're going to consider it as if it's floating because it is floating through. It's not in the same place where the hand is moving it. So sveikin tar. So therefore, there the suffix will be tar. Now, however, chutz, there are a few exceptions. Min kezayis hames. For example, if someone takes a kezayis, the size of an olive, of a corpse, and he throws it, where now the doubt is, did it go over the area, wherever the corpse goes over, that's tumas oil, it's creating an oil over something else, it makes the things under it tumay, so we're not sure did it go over tyrus or not, they're going to be tumay. The reason being is because the halacha of this floating tumah, Tumat Safa is learned from psukim that are written by sheretz. As we brought previously, we were saying in the context of sheretz. Therefore, that whole halacha was only said regarding the halachas of maga, of touching. Because sheretz only applies to maga, it doesn't apply to oil, there's no halacha of oil. So therefore, that dispensation of the suffix when it's floating through, only applies to Tumas Maga, and therefore, by, let's say, kezayis min hames, or similarly, v'amal al panei tumah. Or if someone leans over a source of tumah, so for example, let's say the other way around, someone throws something that's tahar. Now, we're not sure did it go over, creating an oil over the mess or not, where actually in such a situation of doubtful touching, it would be tar, whether if the tumah is the thing that's floating or whether the tar thing that is floating, as it's brought into Tosefta and Taharis, here that it's not regards to touching, it's regards to oil, there we don't say this halacha of the dispensation of tzafa. And moreover, v'chaldavir shemitama milmalo kalmata, anything that transmits tumah, whether from above or from below, what that means to say is lasuye zavazava, that those are also going to be things that will not have this dispensation of a kisafik tuma when it's floating. What does that mean? That includes zavazava. There's halacha known as elyoni shalzav and tachtoni shalzav. There are certain situations where the zav could transmit tuma without even touching the element that it's on top of or below, but just by the fact that he's on top of it or he's below it, so everything that's above it or below it is going to be having that tuma of hesed or mishka from the zav itself. So therefore, in such a situation where it's doubtful if there was that tuma or not, there, even though we're talking about something that's floating, the suffix is going to be tuma again, because the whole halacha was only said regarding the tuma of maga, not regarding Hesed, which is creating movement, or regarding medris, or regarding all these other halachas that apply to oil of a mess. There, the dispensation of something in motion, whether it be the tahar thing or whether it be the tamah thing, that we said such a subject tumah is going to be tahar, that was only said like in the context of sheretz, which applies to halacha of maga. Now, continuing on this theme about the floating, that it's the suffix is going to be tahar, if we're not sure if it touched the Torah thing or not, Bayram Abachama, he had the following question. Let's say mace bekli, let's say the corpse is in the vessel, but bekli tzafa panei amayim. Now, the vessel is floating on the water. Now, moreover, as the Rush points out, it must be talking about the person knows that he didn't lean over the corpse, because then you would be tummy either way, because Tumas Oil, we don't say the dispensation of the suffix. The whole doubt is, he's not sure if he touched it or not. Now, same thing as the Rush points out, we could have said as we were saying up until now, regarding a sheretz, let's say there was a sheretz in the clay. But either way, there's a source of tumah, and we're talking about the suffix was if you touch that, and the item itself is not floating. The item is in the kli, but the kli is floating on the water. What's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question, which is essentially going to be the question that's going to go to the bottom of the amud. Buster kli azlinan, do we define it based on the utensil? Now, the utensil is floating. So you say the receptacle is just holding it, but whatever it's in, that mobile, what's holding it together, that's floating on the water, and therefore the person who not sure if he touched it or not, since it was in motion, will be tar. Or do we go based on the corpse, and the corpse itself is actually stationary, because the bowl that it's in is where it always is. That's not what's underneath it is not floating. So the piece of meat, the corpse, is actually not in motion. And therefore, would we say that it's not considered safa, and whoever touched it in safik will be tame? What's the halacha? Now the Gemara continues in the Girsa, says, in timtzalim alav baster kliyaz linon, as the Rush has the Girsa. Now even if you say that we don't go based on the vessel, meaning the vessel floating, but we don't go based on that utensil. Rather, we go based on the corpse, and that piece of the corpse is munach, is in its place, and therefore the suffix tuma will be actually tame. But the question is, what would the halacha be mesa gabi sheretz? Let's say there's a corpse on top of a sheretz, and the sheretz is floating. Now, the person's not sure if he touched the mess itself. Ma, what's the halacha? So, as the Gemara explains, kiven dehai tomas erev, since the sheretz, that is something that only transmits tuma for the evening. Once the evening, you went to the mikvah, you waited for sundown, you tar, but v'hai tuma shiva, but the corpse that's on top of it is a totally different type of tuma. It's metama for 7 days. So kamanda machsa tuma b'kli dami. So therefore, we should compare it as like an item and a vessel holding it, because they're two different things. So therefore, we should consider it, as we said regarding the kli, that it's as if it's munach, as if it's place, so though the bottom thing is floating, but the thing on top is in its same place, which is on top of the sheretz, and therefore it should be tummy. Or do we say that no, since they're both things that transmit tuma, so tuma smechti, we view it as one big body of tuma, and therefore this one big body of the corpse on top of the sheretz is floating, and therefore it's going to be tahar. Now the Gemara continues. And even if you say that, okay, we'll view it as if it's in a vessel, because as we said, there are different types of tumah. And since there are different types of tumah, so we're going to say that we don't view it as one big tumah, so it's not floating, and rather it's in the same place. And if you're not sure if you touch the mess, you will be tummy. But, and therefore the Gemara says, but tummy vadi, so definitely you're going to be considered tummy. But the question is, what's the halacha if sheretz al gabi nevela? If you have a sheretz, one of these creepy crawly creatures that are on top of a dead animal carcass, a nevela, which transmits tumah too. Now, the nevela tafa and nevela is floating on the water. Now, what's the halacha? As the Gemara explains the question, do we say over here, kivin ditar vayu tumas erevin, and both of them, if you touch a sheretz or if you touch a nevela, transmits tumah only for the evening? So tumas mechnehi, so we view it as one big body of tumah, and since the bottom thing is floating, it's like the whole thing is floating, and therefore the suffix tumah will be tar. Aydemo, do we say that no, they're still different? Because hai kezayis, and nevela transmits tumah with the size of an olive, v'hai kadosha, with the tumah of sheretz, transmits tumah even the size of a lentil, and therefore we should view it as if it's munach b'kli, as if they're two different things, and therefore the suffix tumah will be tumah. Moreover, another question the Gemara has is sheretz al gabi sheretz mahu. What's the halacha if you have one sheretz on top of another sheretz and you're not sure if you touch the upper one? What would the halacha be in such a case? As the Gemara explains, hani vadi chad shiurin in the, do you say that? No, here they're definitely they're the same type of tumah. They transmit the same amount of measurement, so therefore they're definitely like one big thing, and therefore it's like the whole thing is floating, and therefore suffix tumah would be tar. Or do we say that no, kivin demafsiki ma'adodi loy, since they're two different shrots and they're two different things, therefore there's a top thing and a bottom thing. The bottom thing is floating, but the top thing is stationary. Now, the imtim tzolayman, even if you say that sheretz agabi sheretz, that when you have one sheretz on top of another one, kivin demafsiki ma'adodi, since they're separate from each other, keman demantcha beklid dami, that okay, we'll view it as if it's in a receptacle and therefore the receptacle is floating, but not the sheretz itself. What's the halacha sheretz agabi nevela sheni meichu mahu? What's the halacha if you have a sheretz on top of a carcass that has dissolved, that has turned into a liquid? As the Gemara explains the question, do we say kivin dini meichu, since it's liquefied, sahavale mashka, so we view it as if it's a liquid and therefore there's nothing separating the sheretz on top from the liquid below? Because that what's beneath it is also like a liquid. So therefore, havale mashka. Or do we say that no, since ultimately the nevela, this animal carcass, meaning whatever it liquefied into, came from an eichel, came from a food item, from an animal, so it is considered something that separates the sheretz from the liquid beneath it. And even if you say that it is considered a food item, because that's where it came from, and therefore it would be a separation, and therefore the sheretz on top would not be considered safa, sheretz al gabi shechva zera mahu. What's halacha if you have a sheretz that's on top of semen that's floating? Where the reason that's unique for this is that because semen comes out from the body itself, in other words, it's unlike other types of liquids that are deposited in the human body, for example, like urine, where it's just gathered there, where, yes, that's a liquid. But here, maybe semen would be different. Now, that the Gemara says, v'imtim tzolema kivin demesakra, and if you're going to say that since it gets taken out from the body, so havali ko'ochle, so it's considered like the body itself, it's not considered like a liquid, and therefore that would be considered like munach b'kli. But what's the halacha sheretz agabe mechatas? Let's say you have a sheretz on top of the purification waters that are the paraduma ashes together with the mayim chayim that are sprayed on someone that's tamim es, that type of mechatas waters, u'mechatas tafen agabe amayim, and then you have those waters, those mechatas waters that are floating on the water, ma would the halacha be over there? In other words, do we say that that's definitely a liquid? We spray it at people, and therefore we consider it as one, moreover as one source of tumah, because not only does the sheretz on top come tumah, actually the mechatas, the paraduma asher waters actually transmit tumah too, which is one of the unique things about chukas ha'teira of the paraduma ashes. Or do we say that no, since ultimately these waters have some ashes mixed into them, so it's a little thick, so therefore it's like an oichel type of thing, it's like a salad, because it has that type of consistency, ma would the halacha be over there? Nothing the Gemara says, lo yadinan, we don't know the answer to these questions, and take a let it stand, what would be the defining characteristics of something being considered floating underwater, where regards, we had all these questions regarding, do we define it based as one big thing, and therefore the whole thing is floating, or do we say that, no, this is one thing on something that's stationary, and then that is floating on something else, but that wouldn't give it the heter, the leniency of the halacha of tzafa, which we say when you have a suffix tumas maga, like we find by sheretz, something that's floating, that then we're going to say that the suffix is going to be tar. We continue on Talmud Beis, where the Gemara continues on this theme of our Mishnah of Tumas HaTalim, of the Tum of the Depth. So Amar Rav Amnuni says the following halacha, which will come in relevance as the Gemara will ask from the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Nazir v'Oisa Pesach, which those are the two halachas that we know that apply to this leniency of Tumas HaTohim. So he says, if someone's a Nazir and someone that's doing his Karm Pesach, Shaholchu b'kever HaTohim b'shvi shalehen, where they ended up walking over a corpse, a grave that was buried beneath the ground that no one in the world had known about. On their seventh day, for example, let's say the case of Nazir. He was a Nazir that became Tumi. Now, day 3 and day 7, he sprayed himself with the Paraduma ashes. Then on day 7, he immersed himself in the mikvah. Now, on that same day, on day 7, he walked over Kevratayim unbeknownst to anybody. Now, he only ended up finding out about this after he had already finished his Naziris and he already brought his Karbanas. So says Rav Amnuna, so Tahirim. In other words, it's not going to be Saiser, his Naziris, my time. Or what's the reason? So he says, to Layalima Tumas HaTahim Lemister, because a Tumah of the depth is not strong enough to be Saisa the Naziris of the Nazir, which we said that's Halacha Meshav Mesin that applies to both Nazir and to Karban Pesach. Now, that Masab Rava. Rava asks on this Halacha of Amnuna from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says as follows, Yared li tahar mitumas hames. It said, if let's say, even if we're talking about a Tumas HaTohim, and even if we're talking about that he found out about it after he had cut his hair, which is the case how Rav Amnuna was describing it. But if there were three variables we mentioned on Mishnah, one Tumas HaTohim, another one is regards to finding out about it after the Taklachas when you're really done your Nazirs, and the third one was this point that Rav is going to ask from, where if you were going to, like as a Nazir, to be Matar yourself from Tumas HaMes, let's say you were a Nazir that became Tameh, so you're going to the mikvah when you finally had day 3, day 7, Paraduma ashes, you're going to immerse yourself in the mikvah to start over your Naziris. So then you find out that when you already finished your Naziris, that on that day that you were going to immerse yourself in the mikvah, beneath the mikvah was actually a corpse buried beneath, and you went over the mess, and you were Tameh. Halacha is Tameh. Actually, it's going to be Seisah's Naziris. Why? Shecheskes Tameh. Tameh because the chazak of someone that's already Tameh, which is what the Nazir already is, and now he wants to purify himself, and it turns out that there was a Tumas time beneath it, he's going to be Tameh, which again, as the Rosh explained, the Mishnah, it's not really based on this svar of Raklaim Ladavar, it's really Halacha Meshav Mesin. It just says in the way of, like, that makes sense. And Shecheskes Tar, in contrast to when you were going in just to cool yourself off, we already had a Chazaka of Tara, then if you end up finding out about it after you had cut your hair, and it was a Tumas HaTohim, and again, as we said, you had been Tar from beforehand, then that's where the Halacha Meshav Mesin of Tumas HaTohim is not going to be Seisah his Naziris. Now, but one thing Rava asks from our Mishnah is that we see is that obviously Tumas HaTohim is going to be Seisah if he's not, even if it's on day 7 of his Tahara. In other words, where you have a Cheskes Tumah, that is, if you're coming to immerse yourself, that you're not going to be Tar even though it's a Tumas HaTohim. So how does Rava Menuna say that, oh, you know, we know Tumas HaTohim is a dispensation for Nazir. So even if it's on day 7 that he's going to immerse himself, and we find out later that there was that he had gone over Tumas HaTohim, it's not going to be Saisis Naziris. What do you mean? From our Mishnah, we see clearly the third variable is that it has to be that he had a Cheskes Tara. But if when you passed over that Tumah, you had a Cheskes Tumah, as our Mishnah was told about, even if you're about to immerse in, you're on day 7, which is the case where Nun is discussing, Bishvishalan, that you're going to be Tummy, not Tar. So Amalei, Sir Amnun responded to him, the Rosh HaZagir said that it was Abaye, but he has a different interpretation in our Gemara. So Amnun says, Medinulach bin Nazir Shemachusa Teklacha, says, no, I agree to you in the case where if the Nazir didn't yet have his hair cutting of when he's Tummy. In other words, our Mishnah is talking about where you're asking on me from, where he didn't yet cut his hair. So obviously that we're saying, because that must be the case of the Mishnah, where we're saying that he's going down Litvel, and that's when he comes in contact with the Tumas HaTohim. So he didn't yet immerse himself in the mikvah, he definitely didn't do the haircut, which comes after the mikvah. Now, Rav Amnun, however, himself is talking about on day 7 after he already went into the mikvah, and he already cut his hair, where there, although, as we'll see in the continuation of the Gemara, although he didn't yet have hair of Shemesh done down, that wouldn't be considered a Cheskes Tameh, and therefore, that's like the Mishnah said, Cheskes Tar. So don't ask me for the Mishnah. Yes, we're both told on day 7, and I'm saying that you're Tar, and the Mishnah is saying you're Tameh, because the Mishnah is talking about, he didn't go to the mikvah yet. He didn't yet cut his hair. So then he's still a Cheskes Tumah. Still Bechaskes Tama. So then you're right. Then Tumas HaTem will not be the dispensation. I'm talking about on day 7 after he already went and went to the mikveh and cut his hair. So even though it's still day 7, and although there is not sundown yet, as we'll clarify in the Gemara, he's already considered as he is a cheskes tar, and therefore that would work for the third variable to allow the dispensation of Tumas HaTahayim not to be seisis naziris. Now, Amalei Rabbah, so Rabbah says to Rav Amnuna, oh, if that's the case, I also agree to you, but Isa Pesach, let's say someone that's coming to do the Karban Pesach, where if he's not missing anything, in other words, you're right. If let's say he already immersed himself in the mikvah and he already cut his hair, meaning he's on day 7, and that's Erev Pesach, he wants to bring the Karban Pesach, and he already cut his hair from his tumah, so then I agree that that's not going to be a problem, let's say by Nazir and by Karban Pesach. Nazir is you have to cut your hair, and by Karban Pesach is just to purify yourself. He says, I agree. Then if it's already post that, then you have a cheskes tara, and it's not going to be seisis naziris or to make a problem for his Karban Pesach. Now, on that, Amalei Abaye. But Abaye said to Rava, why? Why are you agreeing to Rav Amnuna? But v'amachusa harav shemesh, why are you considering him as a cheskes tahar, but he's lacking sundown? So you're right. Yeah, he on day 7, he already immersed himself in the mikveh. Let's say if it's a nazir, he cut his hair. But he's not over until you have sundown. Then he's tahar, and then he starts over his naziris of tahar. So why is it not going to be Seisir's Naziris, even though it's Tumas HaTahayim, he was Cheskes Tamei, so it should be Tamei. So Amalei, so Rabbah says Tabaya, Shimsha Memela Arva. Sundown happens by itself. And therefore, that's not considered a deficiency in his Tahara. So although he has to wait, it's a time span he has to wait for, but you already did everything you need to be Tahar, you're just waiting for the clock to run down, and therefore you're already Tahar, at least in Chazakah, and therefore, regards to the halachas of Tumas HaTahayim, that will be enough for the halacha Meshem Sinai not to be Seisis Naziris if you found out about it after you already finished your Taklachas Tahara of your Naziris 30 days later. Now the Gemara says that actually Va'af Abaye Hadarbe, that ultimately Abaye ended up retracting and he agrees to Rava that of the Svar of Shimshim Emela Arva, that since sundown happens by itself, it's not considered a chasarin, a lacking in being considered as a cheskes tar. The time, like Luna Braisa, which the Gemara illustrates, ultimately that Abaye ended up agreeing to Rava to his Svara, and therefore he agreed that to Rav Amnun's halacha. Now the Bryce is talking about a woman that gave birth to a female, to a girl. With halacha is, uniquely, that you get 14 days of Tumma, where you're automatically Tumma, then you get the next, till day 80, you have whatever blood comes out, is going to be considered Dam Tar. It's going to be Tar. So and that applies to whether there's a miscarriage or whether she gives birth. So that the Bryce has said that regarding a woman that had given birth to a girl, if she miscarries on Yoy Malois, meaning we said for 80 days, meaning after the first 14 days, for the rest of those 66 days, till the end of those 80 days, all her dam is going to be tar. Now, on the day that she concludes, meaning the day 81 is when she has to bring her karbanas, she has to do all the procedures of being done with being considered a yeledes. So on day 81, which is the day when she's concluding her naziris, if she miscarries on that day, then tavi, then she has to go ahead and bring two karbanas, meaning one karban is for the girl that she gave birth to 81 days ago. Now, this is then when it's day 81, she miscarries on that day, if it's at least a 40-day-old embryo, so it's considered in the halachas of Yeledes. So she has to go bring a new carbon for that fetus that was born. Toich Malais, however, if she miscarried within those 81 days, meaning before day 81, then Leitavi, then actually she doesn't bring two karbanas, as the Gemara learns in Masech Tisnid, Daf Mem, it says, Zeis teres hayeledes, this is the halacha of a woman that gives birth, which the Gemara there learns that she brings one carbon for even many births if it's within that period of the 80 days. Now, you would think the same thing would apply. She brings one carbon even if she gives birth achar the malais after the 80 days. That's why it says, Zeis. Well, there the Gemara learns out that if you give birth, obviously you can't give birth within 80 days, but if you miscarry, which has the same halachas, within those 80 days, so then the carbon you're going to bring when you finally become tar from the miscarriage, and which you still have to bring from the first time you gave birth, that will cover for that one too. But if it's after the 80 days, then it's not going to cover, and you have to bring two karbanos. Now, says the Braisa, Yachal loitavi alei d'shalifnei milois. You would think that you don't bring a separate karban for a birth, which is a miscarriage, that's before the conclusion of the 80 days, like we said, because you only bring one karban for a birth that's within the milois. Avotavi alei d'shalachem milois. But you would think that you would bring for a birth another carbon that's after the 80 days, which the Girsa takes out the words of a tifta b'shtehen, tamalayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches, mayikra, uv'malayis yimei tahara, that when she concludes the days of the purification of her tahara, whether forgiving for having a son or a girl, so it talks about the carbonates that she has to bring, but the interpretation is that b'yoy malayis tavi, the drasha tells us that on the day of her conclusion, which is on day 81, that's when she brings another carbon, if let's say she would miscarry on day 81. Toich malois, loy tavi. But within the 81 days, if she miscarries, then she doesn't go ahead and bring another carbon. So for example, if let's say she gave birth to a girl, and she miscarried another girl within those 80 days, and then she miscarried a third child within 80 days of the second child, meaning from the first miscarriage, she then miscarried another one within 80 days of that second one, even though that's after 80 days of the conclusion of the first time when she gave birth to a healthy child. So, as the Rush explains, is what the Bryce is saying is as follows. When it says, Yochel loy tovi, because this is not implicit in the words that are being said, the Bryce is saying that, Yochel loy tovi aleidah shalifnei malois l'risha. You would think that when don't you bring another carbon that's if it's before the conclusion of the birth of the first child. But avotavi alei d'shalachem alois l'rishayin, but you would think that you would bring another carbon if it's after the conclusion, because if it's after the malois of if there's only two children that we're talking about, the birth and the child that was miscarried, actually we said that you do have to bring another carbon. So what's the Bryce is saying that if it's afterwards you would think that you don't, and you actually don't. That's talking about if it's after 80 days of the first one, but it's still within 80 days of the second one. So there's three children that we're talking about. One was a healthy child, a girl that was born. Then within 80 days of that was a miscarriage. And then 80 days within the second one, but after 80 days of the first one, was a second miscarriage. So you would think that since it's after the first one, that then you would have to go ahead and bring another carbon. And that is what the Brisa brings in the Pasuk, that it's only la'achar malois, but since here it's teich the malois of the second one, so that's what the pasuk says teich malois loitavi. You don't go ahead and bring another carbon. It since it's teich malois, even though it's achar malois in the first one, it's still within 80 days of the second one, meaning of the first miscarriage. Before 80 days were done, there was a second miscarriage. That's what the Braisa says to tell you this halacha that the third one, if it's within malois of the second one, and the second one is covered because it's within malois of the first one, will also be included in the carbon of the first one. Now, it's regarding this point that the Gemara addresses right now and wonders that what's the reason why you don't have to bring a separate carbon for the third birth, meaning the second miscarriage, if it was after the malois, after the 80-day period of the first one. So on that is what Amrav Kane comes to address, and he says, Shani hocho de mechastro carbon. Here it's different because you were lacking the ability to bring a carbon. In other words, it never came a time that even regarding the first birth, the healthy child, you were never able to bring a carbon. And the reason being is because before 80 days were done, you miscarried. So there has to be the 80-day period, even from a miscarriage, if it's at least a 40-day-old embryo. And moreover, so when you miscarried the second time, you're still essentially within the malais of the first one, because even though the 80-day period is done, but not the 80-day period of Tum and Tahara, because you got to start over when you miscarried the first time. So essentially, since you were lacking a carbon, we'll view you as your Teich malais of the first one. That's what Rav Kana says. So although it's not based on really because you're Teich malais of the second one, it's because essentially the third one is really Teich malais of the first one by lacking its ability to ever bring a carbon, because it keeps on extending its Teich of Tumah because of the miscarriages. So we still consider you Teich Malois. So as the Pasuk says, it's only B'yoyim Malois, but Malois made Tahara when you bring another carbon. But before, you don't bring another carbon, it's included in the first one's carbon. Now, this is what the Gemara asks, which will then prove from the answer of the Gemara this point that Abaye ended up retracting and agreeing to Rava. The Gemara asks, wait a second. Hasam nami, there also, meaning regarding the first case that the Braisa mentioned, which is if, let's say, she miscarried on day 81. Where there we said, okay, that's already considered b'yoyim malais, it's on day 81, then she will bring two karbanos. It's not considered toich malais. And that's the question is, why over there does she bring two karbanos? But they're also mechaser harav shemesh, there's lacking sundown. You said that if you're not done yet, meaning you said even if, let's say, you're already past day 80 of the first one, you're already like day 100, but since, or 150, but since you miscarried before the day 80, and then within that day 80, you miscarried a second time, so then you're never able to bring a carbon yet, so you're never able to conclude yet your procedures of the first one, we'll consider that as toich malais. So then why don't we say even on day 81, where even if you, why over there do we say that you have to bring another carbon, two carbonas, but if you didn't have sundown yet, so then you're not done yet. Just like you're not done if there's a miscarriage and then another miscarriage. So then that itself should make it considered as if it's toich malais and not to have to bring another carbon. Why did we say that if it's on day 81 on yoy malais, that then there has to be two carbonas? Now the Rosh actually points out that he wonders what is the Gemara asking regarding requiring sundown. The halacha is regarding a yoledes that all her dam is tameh for the first 2 weeks, and then after those 14 days she immerses herself in the mikveh, and then for the remaining 66 days she's considered what's called tful yom arach, as if there's a certain unique halachas that apply to tful yom where they already purified themselves but they're waiting for sundown. Here she's waiting for sundown of the day 80, but the thing is that she's only forbidden to truma until the evening of day 81, and that's the sundown. So that's already before day 81. So what is the Gemara asking? That on day 81, you have to wait for sundown. What sundown are you waiting for? The night before, that sundown was already the Harav Shemesh. So that the Rosh answers that, because we could even, the case that we're talking about, which is included in the question of the Braisa, it could be talking about that she delayed her mikvah. She didn't go immerse herself on day 14. She waited till day 81. And then if on day 81, which is when she'd bring her karbanos, if she immerses herself that day, she's going to have to wait for sundown. And then actually she's only going to be able to bring her karbanos on day 82. So although she's already day 81. Now the problem with that is that even in such a case we hold, since that's Yoy Malois, is already the conclusion of her term of Yoledes, that it still sounds like from the Braisa that on day 81 she's going to have to bring two karbanos, even though then she's going to be lacking Harav Shemesh, which again, only day 82 could she bring her karbanos, but the question is why? Why do you have to bring two karbanos if you're saying that until you totally tar, like we find by being mechusar karbanos with the two miscarriages, that you consider toich malais, here also should be considered toich malais. That's what Abaye answers. No, that's not considered toich malais, because shimsha memela arva. So we see clearly Abaye is saying this svar that Rava had told him, which we see he agrees to. He says, no, sundown happens by itself. So therefore, that's not considered as if you're lacking anything. And therefore, since the fact that you're just lacking Harav Shemesh is not considered chasaron, so too from the fact, actually, that Rosh points out that although she can't bring her karbanos that night until the following day, that's not considered a chasaron, because that nighttime in halacha is not considered mechusar zman, which, and therefore, would be similar to the case of when Beis Hillel holds on the evening of the 81st day, that it would require for the woman to have to bring two separate karbanos. Now, just one thing that the Rosh points out is that, well, that would work regarding the Harav Shemesh, that happens by itself. And so for the karbanos, he's saying that's not a problem either, because already that evening is the time when you're able to bring the karbanos. But the thing there should still be the difference regarding if she immersed herself in the mikvah or not. Because if you didn't immerse yourself in the mikvah, so then that should definitely be considered that you're lacking in your tahara. So therefore, why do we say a blanket statement and day 81 on Yom Elois, if she has another birth, meaning a miscarriage, then she's going to have to bring another carbon? Why? If she didn't yet immerse herself in the mikvah, then that should be considered like toich malois. But the Rosh says, no, that tefillah is also something that's called biyada litval. It's within her ability. There's nothing holding herself back. She could just go ahead and immerse herself in the mikvah. That's also considered something in the same lines as something that happens automatically. And therefore, that wouldn't be considered something that's pulling her back to teich malais. So that's the differentiation regards to the halacha, the brisa of on day 81, where there we say that you have to bring two karbonas, because the fact that you can't bring karbonas yet, even in that case, is not a problem because Laila is not mechos hazman. And so to the point that we were discussing, that Abaye says the svara of Rava, which we ended up proving that obviously Abaye agrees to the Rava svara that sundown is something that happens by itself. Immersing in the mikveh is also not a problem. So therefore, there it's going to be considered like la'achar malois, and therefore you have to bring another carbon. But however, regarding the miscarriages, we're there, since you couldn't even bring your karbonis yet, because you're not even by your days of tahara, you have to first purify yourself from this first miscarriage and then the second miscarriage, so we'll still consider you as toich malois of the first time, and that's why there you only have to bring one carbon. But again, this only proves this point of halacha of Rav Amnuna, that not like the case of our Mishnah, where if the Nazir, or the one who's doing the Karban Pesach, became Tameh from a Kever HaTohim on day 7, after that there was already Tzvila in the Mikvah, or like the Nazir had already cut off his hair for his Taglachas of Tumah, and the only thing he's waiting for is sundown, that's not considered Cheskas Tumah, that's already something that just happens by itself, so it's already considered Cheskas Tar, and therefore if he only finds out about it after he finishes the Taglachas of Tahara, it's not going to be Seisis Nazirs, again in contradistinction to the Halach of our Mishnah, which, as Rav Nuna answered, was talking about on day 7, but on your way down to the mikveh, so obviously you didn't tevel yet, and you obviously didn't cut your hair yet, and therefore, in such a case, you'll be considered cheskes tumah, therefore the halacha of tumas ha'taim will not apply, and it will be seisa, the naziris of the nazir.